98.5 Sunshine FM. Not for sale began when organisation president David Batstone discovered that one of his favourite Indian restaurants was using trafficked women from India as part of its labour force. The restaurant's trafficking business was exposed when one of the women was killed in a gas leak. David now has an all-consuming passion to stop modern-day slavery. He joins me in the studio today. David Batstone, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Rodney, it's a pleasure to be on your show.
A lot of people would probably think that slavery ended way back in the early 1800s through the work of William Wilberforce, but it's obviously not the case.
That's what I thought. I certainly did. I didn't go out looking for it. It found me in the restaurant, and then I did an investigation across the United States to find out where else this could be happening, and just followed then from ports in the United States overseas and went to a global investigation, including Australia, and found that, you know, wherever I went, then human trafficking and modern slavery existed.
That's fairly shocking for a lot of people because, first of all, we wouldn't expect to hear that it's in the United States, and doubly shocking for a lot of Australians because we think, well, that's something that happens overseas. Can you give us an understanding of the size of the problem?
The U.S. State Department estimates that there are 17,000 new people brought into the United States each year for the purpose of slavery. Now, this is not people smuggling. It's not sweatshops. It's bringing people into a country for forced labor or involuntary servitude. The estimates of some of the Australian groups are about 1,000 every year. And our own research and documentation, which we do, has proven cases in Adelaide, Sydney, Melbourne, all over Queensland, and now we're looking at a case in Perth. So yes, it's all over.
You're looking at cases where, as you mentioned, with the US, 17,000 a year, 1,000 a year into Australia, and these are just estimates. So obviously there are people moving from country to country right around the world. If you had to put an estimate on how many people are involved in slavery right now over the world, what would it be?
Well, we say over 30 million. Over 30 million in the world today, and it's probably a conservative estimate because the Dalit population itself would represent probably between 20 and 25 million. So very conservative estimate, but we're trying to be very careful. You can look at, if you're listening in today, you can look at a website that we've created which documents cases of slavery. It's called slaverymap.org, www.slaverymap.org, and there you'll see documented cases, who was the trafficker, what kind of trafficking, that is, was it domestic slavery, was it house or sex slavery, was it construction crew, and where did they come from? Where did the people who were trafficked come from? Did law enforcement get involved? So it's a very comprehensive look at particular cases, and you'll see cases in Australia, even though we've just started doing the work here.
How long has Not For Sale been operating?
This is our fourth year. It started when I encountered a woman in Thailand who was working with trafficked kids. She'd rescued 127 kids. I had gone around the world to do this investigation, understand it, and just write up my results in a book. I'm a writer. And when I met this woman, Krunam, I said, you know, I got to do more than that. And so I started the Not For Sale campaign to build a village for her, which exists on the border between Burma and Thailand today. And from there, it's just taken off like wildfire.
Now, she had a very unconventional way of rescuing people from slavery. Give us a bit of her story, because she just was doing what she could.
You know, she's right. You're right. She's a painter. She's an artist. And she saw young kids sleeping on the riverfront in Chiang Mai, where she lives, and took canvases of paint and brushes and tins of paint down to the river and said, hey, kids, just paint your story. I'd like to learn more about you. And she found that these kids were from Burma and Laos and Cambodia, and had been trafficked into Thailand to be working in karaoke bars for the commercial sex industry. Men from Australia and America would come, and Japan and China, Germany, England, and they would do things to these kids that they would be arrested for doing at home in their home country. So she got so incensed by this. She learned from the kids that there were kids in there in the karaoke bar still today. The ones by the river had escaped. She went in, just grabbed a couple of kids and ran out. And so when I met her, she had 27 kids and no plan. And they did have to get out of Chiang Mai. They moved north, and they were sleeping on a piece of property, no real structures around it, some grass huts. So I said, listen, I'll help you build one house. And by the time I finished the book, I needed to build several houses and a community center and a whole village. And I'm not that good a writer. I was going to do it with the proceeds of my book. So instead, we start a campaign to raise funds and from there mobilize people to be a part of this whole movement.
when you look at slavery, and I know that it goes across all age barriers, but it especially affects young children. How can they ever learn to trust again?
That's a big challenge. It really does require almost a post-traumatic stress therapy, and it also requires a lot of love and compassion and spiritual renewal. And so caregivers are a really important part of that process, as well as creating new identities. So in all of our projects where we work in Peru or Uganda, Cambodia, Thailand, wherever we work, we incorporate both sports and arts, music, that we try and provide new identities so that you're not always referencing yourself in terms of the kid who survived the trafficking or the slavery or the violation, but you become the kid who can play an instrument, the kid who can do sports. And as they get into the ages of 16 on up, we also provide skills where they can get jobs. So we say we're about creating futures, not only freeing people, but creating futures.
You're here in Australia at the moment to spread the word. As you travel around, do you find people are shocked that these things are going on and they haven't even heard about it?
Very much so. And they almost feel like I'm exaggerating. That's why we really focus on creating good data. And you can see that at our website, notforsalecampaign.org. But we create good data and we document everything. But there's three ways that Australians are linked to slavery. And I can say this, I have an Australian wife and four kids that have Australian passports. So I feel really close to the Australian people. And so I don't say this with any glee. It's about as much sadness as I do as an American and what we're doing. But first is just the geographical destination that Australia is where people are vulnerable. They're taken advantage of, exploited, and brought here. What a report from the U.S. State Department says, Australia is a destination country, just like the United States is. That's the first. The second is, I was just in Thailand, Cambodia. It's Australian men who are driving the demand for the sex trade in young girls in places like Indonesia, Bali, Cambodia, Thailand. And we're standing by and letting that happen. The third area is just the way that we buy everyday consumer goods, shirts, pants, shoes, tires on cars. What I discovered by doing my research is that we're linked to a global supply chain where people are forced to work. If you want to look this up, there's a great Forbes magazine, the business magazine article, cover story about 19 months ago, child slavery, why are we so addicted to it? That's the cover story of Forbes. Child slavery, why are we so addicted to it? And it's not a very comfortable conclusion. It's because we can get a better price on a good. So the Not For Sale campaign has another website that we created that we grade products, looking at 40 different factors. We grade a product, either an A, which you want to get, or an F you don't want to get, just like school. And based on what that report will do, we publish it so that you know whether to buy Levi jeans, get a B. You got a Hanes t-shirt on today, it's a D-. So we have products where you know how to buy differently.
As you're traveling around and spreading the message, you're doing it also with music. We've got Brant Christopher here today. Brant, when you first heard about this idea of slavery, that it is something that is continuing to grow in this current day and age, what were your thoughts?
Well, I think just as others are, I was shocked as well. I had no idea. I thought that at least in our country, Abraham Lincoln had pretty much taken care of slavery a few hundred years ago. But just shocked that not only is it happening, but it's growing at such an alarming rate. You know, it's the third most profitable illegal trade there is right now, just behind arms and drugs. And it's soon going to take over number two because humans are a renewable resource. So people can continue to be used. And, Dave has met four generations of slaves on rice fields that are, it's sad to think that it's gone on this long. And for me, it was just these invisible links that we have to modern day slavery, not knowing, where my shoes came from or where my shirt was. It just put everything into perspective that we have to be deliberate about our choices that we make.
We always enjoy music that's joyful and that gives us a real buzz, but obviously the sort of music that we're talking about here is not that kind of happy music, but is the kind of music that calls us to action.
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma, I guess. You want to be able to write songs about the subject, but not depress people to the point where they can't listen any longer. So it's a real challenge as a songwriter to be able to find music that's going to speak to someone and at the same time inspire them to become a modern day abolitionist.
And are you finding that your music is cutting through, that it is reaching a generation of people that otherwise wouldn't be touched by this horrific slave trade?
I hope so. I keep telling Dave that's the case.
So. Yeah, I'm waiting for the evidence, but yeah, he tells me that. No, actually, Brand has a song now that's just climbing the charts in America. It's called Kingdom. It's done really well, and wrote another one that I think will do even better. And it really was a challenge I put out to him. We're both followers of Jesus, and I said, you know, we really need to bring justice into the worship of the church. It seems like either you worship or you do justice, but the two often don't go together. And so I challenged Brant to say, hey, why don't you just write a song that actually does that? And he's written a couple of really good ones.
An easy task.
Yeah, I told him. I just go to my song jar and screw off the top, and here you go, Dave. Yeah. Pull out a few more songs for you.
Because I said, go find some. He said, there's not many out there. I said, well, write some then.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Well, it is a great opportunity. I mean, we have traditionally through the years been able to sing songs that sing about a cause, and yet more recently, we seem to be singing songs about ourselves. Yeah. And, you know, this is a great opportunity to, I guess, call us back to where God wants us to be.
Yeah.
No, you're right. We invite Jesus into our heart, and then we keep him a prisoner there. And so really, it's a matter of you know, Jesus calls me out into the world to make disciples of all nations and bring the good news of freeing the captives, of setting the oppressed into another place in their lives where they are able to rejoice that being poor is not a curse, but can be a blessing. So it's what we try and do. We really try to be in word and deed, preaching the gospel. The funny thing is, Ronnie, we don't, Not For Sale campaign, we present ourselves as a campaign to end slavery. And so we have companies involved, major companies that are global. We have universities that are not religious universities involved. We have healthcare systems. But at the end of the day, when someone says, why do you do what you do? I say, well, that's what a follower of Jesus does. And they go, what? See, that's what we do. We, you know, we're part of bringing good news to those who are in captivity. So it's been quite a journey for us.
Yeah, the best witness is living it out. You know,
people in the world would probably have seen a very different side to Christianity over the last several decades, perhaps seen people that are willing to point the finger and tell them how they should live morally. Do you think this is it's the time to come out and say, no, this is what Christ is calling us to do?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it's here's a great opportunity for the church. I think when it came to HIV/AIDS, because of the moral ambiguity to many Christians, it was, well, do we get involved in that? And in terms of poverty, also there seems to be a, well, that's not our responsibility. And I really believe that here's an opportunity for the church to take leadership. And, you know, two of the largest international organizations are International Justice Mission and Not For Sale. And neither is pigeonholed as, well, just a church thing. It's seen as organizations that are fighting slavery on the front lines. Oh, and by the way, people who run them are followers of Jesus. And I just think it's time, as a professor, I know this. My students are tired of the talk. They want to say, okay, what has Christianity really done to better the world? And where are Christians involved in the forefront of struggles that really are going to bring about a new kind of world? And so I challenge my students to say, well, where I'm fighting, I find that there are a number of people who follow Jesus who are trying to make a difference.
So what can we do? I mean, you're saying that people want to be able to do something more than just hear about it and go, that's a shocking thing. What can we actually do?
Well, tune into Sunshine 98.5 for starters. <That's> for <sure.
laughs> You know, the campaign, part of the beauty of Not For Sale is, you know, we're not asking people to become William Wilberforce. We're not asking them to become Harriet Tubman. All we're asking them to do is to use the gifts that they've been given for the sake of someone's freedom. So if you're a teacher, we have a place for you in this campaign. You know, if you're a painter or a carpenter, we've got places all over the world that need your help. You know, there are lots of opportunities for people to serve both locally in their own community and internationally as a global community to bring an end to slavery.
If you live in the Western Australia region, state of Western Australia, we have a new Not For Sale office here in Perth opening up where you can be involved in investigation, how trafficking reaches into Western Australia and then up to Asia. And we also are sponsoring trips that would go and help rebuild villages where we, you know, 3.5 years ago, we built Kurnam's village and it needs help. Everything from that to sports. We have an initiative called Free to Play. All kids should be free to play. Unfortunately, they're not. And so use your sports. We have Australian kid basketball teams that for every basket they score, they give 10 cents to kids who are not able to do that game of basketball or that sport. So lots of ways to get involved. And so if you go to our website, you'll see that we have a way of channeling you. What are you? Well, I'm a person of faith. I'm an athlete. I'm a student. I'm a business leader or a business professional. Then you're taken to your own site. It tells you the activities that you can do. So notforsalecampaign.org, I guess it requires you to get on the internet, but beyond that, you're off running.
When you tell people about what's going on, obviously it comes as a shock to many people. Does it then surprise you that people are just not out there shouting it from the rooftops?
It does. You know, it's funny. There's a professional baseball player who is one of our ambassadors for Free to Play. He actually found out about it and called me up out of the blue and said, hey, how would you like it for every strikeout, which is a big baseball thing, I throw, I give $100 and I tell the team that they should announce this. And so I was at a ballpark the other day at San Francisco. 50,000 fans saw him on the Jumbotron telling the fans why he throws strikes. I want to get Steve Waugh. See, I want him every time he hits a boundary. You know how he's revered in India and Pakistan? Imagine every time there's another boundary for Steve Waugh to help free kids out of slavery. And, you know, you look around yourself in India and Pakistan, it's rife. But, I think it really is critical that we do something. But Jeremy, the baseball player, says to me, how do people like not do something? I mean, I heard about those like, well, I got to do something. Well, I play baseball. What can I do? Well, all I had to do was look next door to my next door neighbor where I live in California. He heard about this and I explained to him what it was. And he said, well, you know, I just think, David, that some people have to play that role for our world economy to work, that some people have to, you know, live in situations where maybe they're not getting paid. Maybe one day they will. And I was just like in shock, you know, that I said, well, how about your daughter switches places with them? You know, and how necessary would it be then? It's kind of when they're not your friend, your family, it's easy to say that other people should be living through this, but I couldn't. It's just I found out about it, my local restaurant, and so I had to do something.
I guess it's time for us all to do something. The website again for Not For Sale, where do people need to go?
Notforsalecampaign.org. And then there you can go see Slavery Map. You can see our business product rating tool, Free to Work. All the other tools are there. You can go off to different websites, but notforsalecampaign.org is the mothership.
Well, hopefully we're going to get a lot of people that are going to get on board and actually do something, because there is opportunity on that website for everyone to play their part and actually do something. Rather than just hearing about it and being shocked, we can all do something about it. So David Batstone and Brant Christopher, thanks for your time today. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you very much, Rodney. Great to be on the show.